Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
On that bombshell.
Yeah, yep.
Let's do it.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, and the only rugby podcast with you 52 weeks of the year. And as a consequence, we're here in that one of those weekends where there's very little rugby to actually speak of. But we're still here. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Tim.
That's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Yeah, very little to speak of.
There's been a few bits and pieces. There's been a handful of games.
AJ McGinty has kicked America to, well, a victory again.
Another victory.
Another victory playing over superbly.
Samoa. Against Samoa. Japan look amazing. Looks really, really good.
Yes.
Scotland must be sort of actually thinking, right, we're going to have to be really on our game. Because it's a very different Japan from the one that got absolutely spanked by England.
Yeah, well, it's more like the Japan of the first 20 minutes against England or most of the first half against England when they did look like a really good team. And it's more like the Japan who famously and historically beat the Springboks in 2015. It is a very good Japan team. They've got some big boys up front. They're not the biggest boys, but they can certainly hold their own at scrum time.
They love their driving maul at the minute, don't they?
Their driving maul's powerful.
They're all organised, aren't they?
They're so well organised.
It's very Scottish, actually. They're kind of smaller. Scotland traditionally have had smaller, more mobile forwards who like quick rucking.
And they,
could be a really good game.
Their back line, the Japanese back line, love quick ball. And their, as I mentioned it last week, their intricate passing is delightful. And some intelligent running lines. And actually, watching the game last week, I didn't mention this bit last week, but the contrasting style between Japan and Fiji was really interesting because they both have very good handling skills. But Fiji, what they were trying to do was take contact, suck in the players, then offload. Whereas Japan were offloading right before contact because they're physically different players, different team, have different strengths. And it was interesting to see how that worked, and it's worked very well for Japan against Fiji and now Tonga. So they're a good team.
Yeah, really good team.
They've got USA next week, have they not?
Yeah. That's like a showdown because USA are unbeaten, Japan are unbeaten. In the Pacific Championship.
I don't see anyone getting the better of AJ McGinty. not until the group stages of the actual World Cup. When we are following USA, it should be said.
And our tickets arrived.
Have they?
They have arrived. Lanyard passes.
Oh, really? What, for us?
For us.
God. Cool. Excellent.
Lanyard passes? What does that mean?
It's not individual tickets for the game. We have Team USA lanyard
pass.
Oh,
awesome. You have some nice World Cup accreditation there, boys, which
we do have World Cup accreditation. I just don't know how we pick it up. I'm so rubbish at this.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well done.
Obviously.
I'm looking forward to, during the World Cup, having podcasts about rugby, but also trains. I'm imagining you're going to go mad on trains when on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. We're all going to take a bullet train, are we not?
We are taking one, possibly two.
Yeah,
we're not travelling around quite a lot. We're travelling very long distances, so it's just much more efficient to fly. And we're actually spending 2 days on Okinawa, which is about 500 miles.
How many flights are we doing
south
in total?
About as many as we did in 3 days going round southern Europe.
So how much access to AJ and the boys are you going to get?
I don't know, just call him.
Yeah.
Well, I've got no idea, is the honest answer. I don't know. We'll just be following him.
No, I know. I should be directing all questions of Phil, really. Any logistics.
Yeah. I'm usually pretty good at planning trips. I'm usually pretty good at, you know, drawing a map of a single city.
This, you're really good at finding the best bar in town that isn't open.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, superb at that. This trip has just overwhelmed me because, like, the scale of the thing. I mean, it's fair to say I've put in pretty much no effort to it so far. It's all been filmed. It's got like a little spreadsheet. You've got pictures of Eddie Jones on it. You've got a picture of Stuart Lancaster on it. Got it's, all sorts.
It's the past five or six. Every World Cup coach, every England coach since Clive Woodward is lurking somewhere in our little spreadsheet for our Japan spreadsheet.
Japan.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I'll be holding the fort back here, boys. Don't you worry. Yeah. Don't worry about me.
You'll be hoovering up all the BT Sport gigs in the UK.
Well, yeah, that's true.
There has been some rugby. We took Didsbury Talk H out yesterday for their forwards day out. 22 of us went to Johnny Murray's boxing gym.
That's what Sale Sharks did the other week.
Exactly what Sale Sharks did, yeah. We basically copied their day out.
And if it's good enough for Dimes.
Good enough for Dimes, it's good enough for me. This place, right, is on the other, if you know Manchester, this boxing gym is sort of Gorton Way.
Okay.
And classic boxing.
Salt of the earth folk there.
Yeah.
Well, this no messing.
This Johnny Murray fella gave us like his background. British champion, Sunday Else champion, fought in Madison Square Garden in front of 20,000 people.
Wow.
And just worked us intensely for an hour and a half. Absolutely awesome day out.
Great stuff.
Yeah, and then some sparring?
There was a bit of sparring. There was
health and safety all...
Yeah, player welfare.
All
for most
off.
Players was fine. One Did guy you... who played welfare, our player welfare protocols, maybe didn't cover 100%.
What are your return to play protocols like, just out of interest?
You okay to play? Yeah, I can.
He's joking.
When the boy came around and said, oh, what a shame you don't remember winning. So that finished at about 10 o'clock.
Did you get your gloves on?
Of course I got my gloves on.
Yeah.
And also it's recorded, me having a famous victory over our captain, Harry Rigby. Famous victory.
I bet you loved pre-season, Phil.
I did used to like pre-season because that was generally the only time of year when I was fully fit. And normally... have an amazing...
You're like the inverse of Andy Good, who just gets fit in time for playing. Used to just get fit in time for playing. You were fit through pre-season until the matches.
My traditional pre-season would be like really, really hard work, really good fun, really enjoyed it, smashing all the gym, setting good
standards.
Lifting, yeah, good standards, good lifting, good times and all the rest of it. And then three games in, I'm out for like 4 months. Three games into the season. So I loved pre-season.
I'm actually enjoying pre-season this year. It's far, far better than previous years. I'm actually allowed to train at the moment, so it makes hell of a difference.
Because there'll be a lot of people either maybe playing, coaching, or having memories. How much pre-season work do you do with a ball in hand?
All of it now.
Yeah.
I mean, literally all.
I think that's great.
And that's the biggest change from where people were, I think, 10 years ago to where they are now.
I agree.
Which is, you know, everything is ball in hand.
Because you can do all that fitness work.
Yeah. Outside, yeah. There's no point in running five k. If you can do that on your own, you need to use your time to, you know, work with the boys. Things you need to do in a team.
5k as well is it's just non rugby specific.
Yeah.
You're never going to work for 25 minutes without break.
Yeah, but here's where I come down on that. Right, for most lads, I actually just think road running is probably the best way to get fit for rugby. I know people think that's insane, but you just got to do it. You've just got to get used to moving for.
Well, because boxers do a load of it, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. You just got to get used to moving for a prolonged period of time. And once you've got that base level of cardio, then you can worry about, you know, working in short intervals. But if you're a disgusting 20 bad stone prop, don't worry about just your short interval work. Go run on the road.
Yeah, I guess it depends what your base level. If you've got no base level fitness, anything is better than nothing.
Oh, exactly. Because in the case
minute,
of a...
Sorry, 10-minute miles.
In the case of a 20 stone prop but playing at level 7, let's say, then... actually just getting leaner and losing dead weight
Exactly.
is going to make your performance overall way better.
Yeah, do not
but when think. You get to the top level, they're already punching with, you know, 12% body fat. And
exactly. And then you can worry about doing the extra bits and pieces. But until then, just go running. Just go running continuously.
I remember I was at uni with Joe Alab, who... Isn't he doing some stuff with England now? Isn't he been brought in on their coaching? I think the RFU have got him in on...
I think he is,
He's one to watch massively. Anyway, he... I was at uni with him, and I'm pretty sure, like, his dissertation was coming up with a rugby specific version of the bleep test or whatever. Something like that.
Okay.
Something like that. So it would involve like down ups. It was basically sort of chunking up rugby into this is what an average say 20 minutes would entail.
Yeah.
And doing that.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Is this not the guy that ran home because you did his eggs wrong?
Yeah. So I was the skipper at uni. I was in a back row with Joe Alab, which is, you know, which is ridiculous, with James Hudson, the ruck inspector, and
out of those...
and Nick Rouse and Luke Charteris were our locks.
Nice.
Which is unreal. Yeah. But no, I organised a team breakfast before our Boosa quarterfinal match. And I organised a breakfast on the campus canteen and asked for poached eggs. And I turned up and they'd just done fried eggs. So Joe Alab ran home to have poached eggs.
I mean,
what a psychopath.
Yeah, that does feel like it. I've read stories about the England team. I'm sure it was Ricky Flutie who, this is in about, 2006, 2007, something like that, when his birthday treat was a chicken breast with a candle in it. Which is like just taking it's cooked, of course, maybe some spicy sauce, but that just feels like it's taking the nutrition to the extremes without the understanding of why you do the nutrition.
Well, I never said this before, right? But I was chatting to one of the sell sharks props, does not drink, which I think, why even live? But okay, fine. So he was saying, don't drink because just don't enjoy it. Like, fair enough. But he loves his food and he reckons he regularly does at least 5,000 calories a day. And most of those 5,000 calories a day will come from mincemeat. Like, that's his thing.
Mincemeat?
Yeah, he says, I'll just get some mincemeat. I'll make something up.
Just fry it up with.
Yeah, I mean, sure, he has something like spaghetti with it or something. You know?
Yeah.
5,000 calories a day. See, and that's what Cellshock's chefs are targeted for the props too.
See, if you're a professional athlete, I totally get how that you need to be meticulous and actually a bit boring.
Yes,
you need to be. And having lived in the past with my brother and a housemate of mine, they were both playing for Bath at the time. You have to be dull to be a professional rugby player. Just out of necessity, you come home and you are absolutely knackered, and all you want to do is sit down and eat, and that's it.
So you've got to get the calories in.
You've got to get the calories in. So I understand that. The worst ones are the non-professional nauseas who do all that work in the gym and eat all the perfect food and do nothing else and just talk. No. But Phil has a balance. He yeah. does all that so that well for health and for health, well-being, and all the rest of it. But also so that he can get out on the piss
once every 6 weeks.
And I've got a mate who used to be in the forces, and he said that they always do these. They'd always go out and do these runs, and there was this dog leg that meant you did an extra mile. And they used to refer to it as the sort of sergeant or whoever was in charge. Go, right, come on, we're going to do the dog leg. It's another beer in the bank.
Yeah, that's
the sort of principle. Yeah, it's like
I've got the fat mile up up on Chorlton. So, like, today I will do my little run. Because I was so fat yesterday, I'm going to do an extra mile. My fat mile. The burger mile.
Speaking of food and meticulous discipline preparation.
Yes.
Did you see who started at number 8 for Lyon rugby this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting, isn't
Matthew
it?
Mathieu Bastiaro.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. Does anyone know how he got on?
I don't, but I do know any... some of the background on it.
Well, Lyon won comfortably, 42-19. I'm looking at the score now.
So he's in the squad with Liam Gill and, more importantly, the silverback Carl Ferns.
Yeah, the best back row in, the best number 8 in French rugby.
Maybe English rugby as well. So it's interesting. These two will not play together, is what I understand. So it's either going to be Carl Ferns or it's going to be Mathieu Bastiaro. But you're not going to. It's going to be very unusual if you see a back row with Carl Ferns and Mathieu Bastiaro in it. And apparently, one of the reasons they're doing it is because a lot of what they're going to do this year is going to be centered around the number 8. Hands, link play, so on and so forth. And they're just seeing, will he be fit enough and will he be good enough to do it?
But the carrying going repetition.
Exactly. But the problem being is it's one or the other. So you're getting rid of one of your best players, one of the top 14's best players, in order to facilitate a guy who's just converting over, which is fine.
But they might also be saying, let's take Bastiaro because he can help keep Carl Ferns fit for the whole season.
Yes.
Because he's had injury problems.
The danger is, I guess, even like that, if you had Bastro on the bench and you say, okay, you run Carl Ferns for 60 minutes and then, you know, you the bag, game's in the bag, then you and then you swap him around, fine. But if someone else gets injured, like Liam Gill, and you've got to play them both in the back row, your line-out suffers tremendously. Because neither of them are particularly good line-out operators. And that's what they've got
to do. As long as you've got two jumping locks.
Not really, because you can. What you need...
Although it makes it a bit precise.
It makes it easy to mark up.
You can get away with one non-jumping pack member who's not front row. So if you're running a six plus one, you always put the plus one, the one guy, where the scrum half is. Yeah. Fine. And that's what Leon tends to do. But if you know, you've got another guy in there who can't jump, well, all of a sudden...
They'd have to cut the numbers in their line out, which then means you've got more defenders out in the midfield, which makes it harder to win off first phase ball.
That said, you can also... I suppose you could manipulate your bench, couldn't you, to hold an extra back.
6-2 split.
Or 6-3.
Because you could use Bastereau in the back.
Because you could start Bastereau in the backs and then rotate him to the forwards and bring on a back.
Do you think he's fit enough to do that?
Yeah, I think he is.
I'd rather start Carl Ferns in the centre and move him to back row when Bastereau was
Carl blowing. Ferns is one of those guys, and it happens every now and again, where you cannot quite believe the physical transformation of a player through their like mid-20s.
Yes.
He was always a hard as you like. When he was a flanker at Sale, he was nails. But he is...
And at Bath.
And at Bath. No, but it was whilst he was at Bath. He just got... unbelievably massive. You alright?
Yeah. Sorry.
He just got unbelievably massive. He is huge.
So, anyway, what I'm trying to say is this is not the Sam Burgess story all over again. There isn't some guy converting from one position to another.
But if you were going to pick a player that you'd like to see how they would go, just an experiment. If you could change someone's position for experimental purposes, is there anyone you'd like to see?
There's bloody tons of them, actually. But you'd have to go through... So I am obsessed with converting people who play back row into props or hookers. That's I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a little below the standard of where these boys are playing. But, like, actually, the guy that we were just talking about, Carl Ferns, I'd love to see him have a go at loosehead prop. Why not? You know, if you look at the props that they play in, say the Premier Cup, when they are down to the bare bones in the Premiership, it'll be those guys that get called up into the main squad, or they've got someone on loan. Just from a money point of view, like look at Ashley Johnson going from eight to hooker, gets more money, gets a longer career, and look, back row is bloody hard to play. So there's a load of back rowers that I'd love to see play hooker. Love them.
That got me. More time at first team level, being able to
play front row.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, Sale Sharks have got Cam Neill, who's about 6'2", I'd say, right? And they've also got Johnny Ross, who's about 6'2". Johnny Ross is a phenomenally hard man. Surely he could do a bit of a stint at hooker, right? Two massive props either side?
Probably. The difference with Ashley Johnson was he had actually played it as a kid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hadn't he? So he wasn't learning totally new skills, although he hadn't actually played it for 10 years or so before he started converting. So I don't know at that level, because I almost think at that level, unless you've got some miles in the bank already when you were much younger, you'd almost have to forego one season to play at a lower standard to build yourself up.
I think you just play in the... most of this stuff comes to attitude. I really think it comes down to attitude. If they say, I'm going to play, come what may, and I'll be fine, they will probably be fine.
Definitely true at levels 6, 7, 8. I'm not sure it translates.
Well, all you need
at
to
higher
do,
level.
Just throw me in at like an A-League game. see how it works.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I mean. To do it properly. So if you're playing on a... John O'Ross is not going to be playing on a Saturday afternoon and then a Monday night in front
no,
row.
That's true. But
so
you
to
would.
Do it, you're going to
by the way, John O'Ross isn't a great example. Before anyone says I want to move John O'Ross to hooker, I do not. That was not my intention. Oh, I'll tell you another one. Josh Strauss. So Josh Strauss at Sale Sharks is actively thinking of moving, or has thought this season.
Well, he's moved now to
Bulls.
Bulls, yeah.
Yeah, so I can say it. Actively thought about moving to front row, because his
really?
Brother is an enormous front row.
I thought Josh Strauss would be a bit taller.
Yeah, I would have thought so, but, you know, he's
Andrew Sheridan was 6'5".
Yeah, he's animal strong. True. He's animal strong. His brother does it too. And again, it's cash, isn't it? Cash and options. Yeah. The more things that you can do, you know, the better you become in the more
I'd love to see Justin Tipperick at outside centre.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be one that I'd sort of go, he's got a skill set that if he'd have decided aged, I don't know, whatever, 15, 16 to be a centre, he probably could have been an international there as well.
There's a few really athletic back rows, like someone like Quagga Smith, someone like Michael Hooper, Hamish Watson, the Scottish lad. All of those boys, I think, could do a hell of a job in the centre.
Moriarty talker. Was he 6'2"? Was he
6'2", 6'3", probably?
Perfect. Big, broad shoulders. Hard. Moriarty's a hooker.
What position was his old man?
Good question, don't know.
I think he was a number 8.
Yeah.
But his uncle played as well. I think they were all locks or back rows.
I'd say someone who I would have liked... I think, and could still do this, could move in. If, and I'm not sure if he's got the head for it, but George North.
Oh, God, no.
If he'd have wanted to play...
Now, is that a pun, not got the head for it, or...?
No, I'm not sure he's got the mentality for the work rate.
Oh, right, okay.
As a back row, I think physically, he'd certainly be big and strong enough. It's whether he would have the mental attitude towards the discipline and work rate.
Battered.
His body, I don't know if that's... It's probably a consequence of him being a winger, but his upper body... he's a big boy, full stop.
Yeah.
But his upper body is small compared to his legs.
Well, there's a quote from Warren Gatland saying that they need to keep him away from the gym because he puts on weight so quickly. As in muscle weight.
So annoying.
What an awful problem. Poor guy. Pray for George. There's not that many backs I think I would move in. There's plenty... the thing is with back row...
He's like the opposite of Steve Borthwick, who used to limit the amount of sort of cardio work he could do because he would just lose weight so easily. Yeah.
Paul O'Connell had the same problem towards the end of his career.
Losing weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone has that problem.
No, I see.
Losing weight towards the end of their career.
I certainly don't have that problem. I can't really think of many more. Mostly back...
Other than Johnny Mayer-Flanker.
Oh, obviously, Johnny Mayer-Flanker.
That's a good shout.
I don't think there's any backs I'd like to put in the front row.
Bastereau.
I might put Harry Thacker at 12.
Yeah. His brother, Charlie Thacker, did play centre, didn't he?
He still does. Yeah. He still plays for Leicester, I think.
Was he not one of those many, many players released when they cut deep?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, we can all look at the success of Richie Vernon as to how he could transition from... flanker to centre.
It's tough. Totally different games. Be interesting to see the Bastereau highlights. But I can imagine in France on there if that was televised or whatever, or the second it is televised, Bastereau, it will be like when Sam Burgess played for Bath and everyone was so excited.
I'm gonna mention this now. I watched the whole, because I had a bit of time on Friday, I watched from start to finish the entire England 2015 game against Wales.
Oh, great Six Nations match.
Great Six Nations game. But sadly, I was watching...
that was the only time they played, right?
Yeah, I think so. The World Cup game. And, looking back at it, Sam Burgess had a really good game.
He was the horrible scapegoat for people to blame him.
Yeah.
No. He is not the scapegoat. He is the symptom of what went wrong. So he did nothing wrong personally. He was called up, did everything right. But he shouldn't have been there. It's not his fault. And he even did well when he was put on the field. But again, the loss was not his fault. It was just sort of, he was just a symbol of muddled thinking by a coaching staff who were completely out of their depth. Watch that back. Start to finish on Friday night. I think I'm going to start watching more old games. I might even start recording some commentary over the old games.
It's a good time to do it over the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were 50 days to the World Cup last week.
Yeah.
So in 50 days' time, or less than 50 days' time now, you will not have time to watch anything, any old stuff back. We'll be watching 2 or 3 games a day. Before we move on to something else, Jay, I've got a genuine question.
Yeah.
You are looking in a real bad way.
Hay fever,
your
mate.
Eyes are streaming. Are you sure? Are you sure you've not been pepper sprayed again?
No. I feel absolutely terrible. In fact, I'm going to pause this podcast now. In fact, no, you guys carry on. I'm going to nip to the...
I'll tell you what. I'll let people know about our live event. Well, hopefully, yes. we're waiting till September so the pollen counts are lower for JB's benefit. But September the 7th at HQ Twickenham, Saturday, September the 7th, there is a whole day of podcasts, including ours, which we would love for you to come and join us at. It's a perfect way to build up to the Rugby World Cup. This is in the brand new refurbished East Stand of Twickenham. It's podcastlive.com is where you need to go. And like I say, on the day that England fly out to Japan, what better way to have a World Cup preview day of a whole day of rugby with like-minded fans at HQ and then, you know, a couple of drinks on the river afterwards. And also to celebrate JB's bid to become one of the expenses-grabbing RFU committee members.
Pay me those expenses.
JB 2020.
JB 2020.
Five-star hotels.
Is Joe Biden still online to be sharing that hashtag with you?
It looks like me and Joe will be sharing that hashtag. I mean, the way things are panning out with democratic debates last week. So, yeah, hopefully me and JB 2020.
Yeah.
No, it might be JB 2021, but, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Only one of them sniffs hair.
Well, yes, go with that for now. Oh, God, I just looked myself in the mirror. I look like a zombie from 21 Days Later.
So there is our podcast, which will be there. Equally, Brian Moore will be there. And
well, no, not equally. He will be there.
He will be there. Wait and see what T-shirt he's wearing. who else is there?
Will Greenwood.
Will Greenwood. That's the big one.
Maggie Alfonsi's going to be there.
Yeah, brilliant.
Very exciting.
Whole day of podcasts. Podcastlive.com. Put us as your preferred podcast. We'll make sure you get a prime seat and you come along to the Negroni Party 2020.
There we go.
You just mentioned Wales.
Yep.
Yeah.
In a World Cup game. Wales in a World Cup game. There's some news last week that they're going to be missing a certain player.
Devastating news. Genuinely devastating news. Well, not genuinely. It is. It's bad. It's real bad. Toby Falasal's out. Broken clavicle, I understand.
Yeah.
Was this picked up in training?
Clavicle, is that the little collarbone?
Collarbone.
Yeah.
I thought you could... Come on, man up. Yeah, can you not... That can be fixed, can't
you? Get on with it, come on.
Yeah. You can plate it, which is what... Because he had surgery, which is what it looks like they've done. Mm. I know two people who've come back from collarbone surgery too soon, broken it again, but it's caused way more damage because you have a plate and screws put.
Didn't you say haven't you told us once you can die from a collarbone?
That is SC joint dislocation.
Oh, right. Is that the same thing?
No.
Okay. Well, you can't die from
sternoclavicular
dislocation, which I did actually, but I had a, whichever it is. Mine came outwards rather than inwards. Because if it goes inwards, it can...
Was that like a sideways impact that popped it out forwards?
Yeah, it was against Cambridge, landing with, what's his name? Old Northampton flanker, Darren Fox, and a couple of the other blokes on top of me, and just my left shoulder went. And because I'd previously dislocated my AC joint, acromial clavicular joint, there was plenty of give in that side of my collarbone, but there was no give in the other side of my collarbone, so that went.
Ugh.
Anyway, I know two people who've had a broken clavicle, had it plated, gone back too soon, and it's broken again in the same place. But because you've got a plate in there with screws in, it's done way, way more damage. Because the screws have been ripped.
Sheared off.
Yeah. So it's not worth... I think they went back after something like 12 weeks, which, given there's kind of 7 weeks till the World Cup... He's going to want to leave it more than 12 weeks, is what I'm saying.
He can come back for the final, right?
Possibly.
Well, he could get called up as a replacement if there's injuries, but that was obviously really bad. But they won the Six Nations without him.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
But he's still...
Josh Navidi's been one of the finds of the last year or so.
I mean, I'm going to say Billy V is probably the world's premier eight at the moment.
I would go with that.
There is probably an argument that you could say, coin flip, Kieran Reid on his day.
Kieran Reid a couple of years ago, I think he's slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, agreed.
Dwayne Vermaelen again.
Dwayne Vermaelen is a beast.
A couple of years ago, he does seem to have slowed down a little bit. But
then after that, you might actually say, yeah, it's Falatau. And you might even say, if they're all fit right now, there are things that Falatau does, which is superior to all those other three.
Agree with that. In the outside channel, he is...
Oh, his feet!
Yeah.
That game when Wales ran New Zealand close in New Zealand, he was just out of this world good.
He is out of this world good. And it's That's a shame. Wales will be fine. And you know, it opens the doors to other possibilities. We're going to have to be looking at, I guess, Moriarty will fill those shoes now.
Moriarty and Navidi will be there, 2-8s, you'd think.
You'd assume that they would start with the same, because the first choice back row for the Six Nations was Navidi at 6, Tipperick at 7, Moriarty at 8, with then Wainwright on the bench.
Yeah.
Because Moriarty and Navidi can both cover 6 and 8, so Wainwright Tips can cover 7. You got Shingler coming back.
Love Shingler.
Who is in such good form, who offers something different in the line out. His offloading game.
Oh, that Wales Scotland. The first game, was it the first game in the Six Nations last year?
In 2018. When,
like, he was a proper bowler.
He's brilliant.
But it does. So Wales obviously won the Six Nations, won a Grand Slam without Faletau. The bit that is different, and I mentioned this towards the end of the Six Nations, or at the end of the Six Nations, the conditions in Japan are going to be significantly different to the conditions in Cardiff in February, March.
Mm.
It will be, as England have been finding out, it will be 30 degrees and 78% humidity, which, even with all the flamethrowers going off in the Principality Stadium, Cardiff is not that temperature.
What do you suppose the Cardiff Arms Park, it's not even Cardiff Arms Park, is it? The Millennium Stadium?
No, Principality Stadium.
Principality Stadium.
It's hard to keep up.
Carbon footprint is. In the days of Greta Thunberg, miniature Nazi, isn't it a little bit irresponsible to have like flamethrowers everywhere?
It's probably the same as having like 1,000 cattle grazing for 6 months. Just
why?
Or like around the world trip on a private jet?
Yeah, I can't see it lasting that much longer. The flames in the Principality. That's besides the point. What we
DJ Spoonie and laser shows much more eco friendly.
Yeah. Laser shows seem more eco friendly. There we go. We'll do that.
As long as you're using solar panels to create the electricity for your lasers.
Exactly.
I love that there was a celebrity climate change summit. Oh, yeah. Everyone jetted in on private jets to Davos.
I did see that. 100 plus private jets and 50 plus private yachts.
I mean, you want to say what a bunch of morons, but they can't be that stupid if they're all flying in private jets.
Yeah.
So who knows?
So anyway, Wales will manage it. I would have. The conditions would be right for Faletau. The conditions would be so much better for Faletau than the Six Nations, so it's such a shame.
Do you put much stock in the idea that Wales are much fitter than...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyone else like they say?
I don't think there's a massive amount of difference between the top teams, the fitness that the top teams do.
Depends if they've done Eddie Jones's fitness regime to make him 30% fitter in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, maybe they are. Maybe Faletau's injury is straight off the Eddie Jones playbook. England... 12 months ago, 18 months ago, we're getting season-ending, career-ending injuries in training. So maybe they're just copying Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
The fittest team is New Zealand. And I don't just mean that if they all did the bleep test or a rugby equivalent of the bleep test, they would necessarily score the highest. But because they always perform better in the last quarter of a game, because they do read the game better and they're more intelligent, so they position themselves better,
yes,
so they're
exactly
running fewer metres.
They're fit. The fitness isn't... they probably score very similar times on a bleep test, but they have the best rugby brains.
Yes.
So they make the best decisions so that they use their energy most economically.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I completely
agree. They're like a hybrid.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that, and I also think there's an element of psychology as well. Like, if you don't particularly like your coaches or your teammates, even though you say you are working as hard as you can, there is a difference, and I think that's the difference that you see in the Welsh team. They work so bloody hard for each other. Like, doing extra fitness, doing extra bits and pieces is part of their culture. Whereas I think other teams, it might be, well, yeah, we'll work as hard as we're told to work.
But there is a combination of those 2 points with the Wales team as well. Because they've got a much smaller player base, they've had such squad consistency, and playing with the same people year in, year out, playing multiple games with the same combination, the old Ben Darwin law, it will make you a better team.
Yeah, but I get that, and I do agree with it. But then there's the Ben Darwin law, and there's the Stuart Lancaster outcome, which is he was obsessed by getting consistency and building people's caps.
He was just looking for, because the World Cup team, I know they correlate, but then he would have started with the same centre partnership. He wouldn't have introduced someone like Sam Burgess.
I know.
If that was his
All comes back to Burgess.
All goes back to Burgess. Always does.
Oh, we also mentioned Chris Robshaw earlier in the context of that 2015 game. And my favourite tweet of the whole week was when Harlequins named their new captain, Chris Robshaw, for this season. And they said, what's your favourite Chris Robshaw moment? And Danny Kerr said, without a doubt, it was yesterday when he thought Ramadan was a Japanese noodle-based dish.
Oh, man.
I wonder how far away he is from being called back up to England.
Well, I thought with Brad Shields out, he would be in, but clearly not.
I guess it sounds like they've decided to move on, and come what may, he's not getting back in the squad. Absolute injury crisis.
I think I'd like to say one more. Definitely two more injuries he'd be back in.
Do you think he gets in before Ben Curry gets in?
Probably yes, but probably yes. But I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not 100% certain.
It depends who gets injured. If Tom Curry gets injured, Ben Curry's more likely to get called up.
Yes, that is true.
If Mark Wilson gets injured, I think Robshaw might be more likely.
It's a mystery to me why Ben Curry's not included or talked about or hasn't been training with them or hasn't done anything with them.
Apart from his initial call-up when he got injured.
Yeah, I think then they might have...
His initial call-up when he was above Tom Curry.
Yes.
He was going to start Curry on the bench against Argentina.
And Ben is, as I've mentioned before, I think he's current Sale Player of the Year. Over his brother. Voted for by the players, which is quite something.
There you go.
The other thing that happened at Quinns in this preseason is Gordon Ramsay popped up at their preseason
with
an inspirational, motivational team talk
with Nick Alterac. That
Nick Alterac, yeah, he put the two bits like he did in that Kitchen Nightmares in America or whatever. He put a slice of bread on each of Nick Alterac's ears. What are you? An idiot sandwich.
It's an interesting person to come and give a motivating speech. I'm not saying it's a bad shout. It's just, it's an unusual. Normally you'd get another sporting person. I've had a couple of amazing inspirational speeches from former military personnel. And so a TV chef is an interesting person. Mm. Now, professional chefs in high-end kitchens, they are unbelievably stressful, difficult, competitive environment.
I think he was giving a talk on keeping cool under pressure.
Even so, I've actually worked in kitchens, and like, it's not really much of a team dynamic. There's not really much support. It's like, ready now? Is it ready now? Is it ready now? Is it ready now? Like people shouting in your
and
face.
And it's kind of
very, very macho.
Authority is like unquestioned. It's like if the person above says, do it, you do it.
You do it.
And also, Gordon Ramsay is one of these guys who seems to have lost his mind a bit as his fame has grown and grown and grown.
He's also lost some of the wrinkles on his forehead as the Botox has grown and grown and grown.
So, there's an interview with him, and he was talking about how he likes to drive a car really fast on a circuit once every month because it keeps him on edge and keeps him sharp. And I was like, you've lost... Yeah. This is when you've become too wealthy. and you've lost all sense of reality. I need to race a car around the circuit once a year. Of course you do. I mean, why wouldn't you? So
that's the missing piece in my jigsaw. Why hadn't I thought that?
God, I'd be so much more successful.
That would unlock all that success.
Yeah. The other one I was going to say about Harlequins is they do a load of cool things. And I think it's because they're in London. So they had Apache helicopters land in training the other day. I mean, again, I do not see what the utility is of having an Apache helicopter land, other than it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you don't see the utility of having wolves and snakes.
Yeah, you've got wolves
in a defence session. It's just got Gustard written all over it, hasn't it?
They've got
Guzzy mixing it up.
Yeah, it's just a cool club, isn't it? Because they're so close to everything. Like, you know, they did their kit launch in BT Tower, and you know, they've got Maserati parking. It's just a cool club.
It is a cool club. It's a very cool club, and the social media quality of pre-season. Do NFL still do the Hard Knocks series? Because they stopped. They didn't do that last year, did they?
I don't know. Did they not? Or maybe because All or Nothing is on.
Oh no, they did do it. They did do it.
I just don't think it gets the traction it does because there's so many other ones out there.
Anyway, but rugby clubs have started putting out these pre-season videos. You know, in fly on the wall type stuff. Bristol have changed the game, but they're one of the ones that did a good one this week.
Did you see the interview with Bruce Arians this week? Bruce Arians, for those who don't know, is a very high-ranking American football coach, a very successful one, who's now in charge of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he gave an interview. He said he would fire any one of his coaches who misses one of their children's plays, school activities, anything to do with your children. If you miss it, Bruce Arians has threatened to fire you.
Wow.
Which is like overreaching.
Yeah, a little overreaching. And, you know, not to mention how the kids must feel when, you know, dad's been forced to be there under the threat of his job, not really enjoying it.
And those things are important, but also some of them are so boring.
Yeah. I don't want to go. Bruce, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Get out, you're fired. Have you got any rugby news? Anything?
Well, so the rugby that it was, we mentioned Japan looked really good beating Tonga.
Yeah.
And comfortably hammering them as well.
Yeah.
Scoring some really good tries. Although the number of missed tackles, I think that's a consequence of the
I
way
missed
of Japan. No. I think that says a lot about the way Japan are playing.
Okay.
Again, the late offloads before contact, so they're putting people through on weak shoulders, through holes.
Yeah.
And they're playing at such a pace that just you're blowing hard. So I can't wait for that Scotland game. But also, we mentioned it earlier, USA are having a bit of a resurgence. That's a good win against Samoa.
Mm.
Yeah, it is a good,
really good win.
And they put themselves in a position to score a late try and win the game, thanks to...
AJ McGinty.
AJ. And the other game in that was Fiji hammered Canada, 38-13. Some amazing tries. And, I mean, Tui Silva and Semi Radrada are just... unbelievable.
They've got Paul
back Nakarawa, Yato,
and
Mata, and Kunitani. I mean, God, they're athletic.
They're awesome, aren't they?
Massive, fast, strong. So they've got everything.
So the team you do not want to see is Fiji. The team you want to see is Fiji at the start of the group stage. The team you don't want to see is Fiji at the end of the group stage, because they'll be substantially better than the start. The time that they're having together now is going to be absolutely critical. Paul Williams, rugby journalist on Twitter, he put out a tweet about the Fijian backlines or the back three options, and it's something like 12 players deep who everyone would want.
Yeah,
and that's not that's before you even take out the players that they're not allowed to have because other nations have stolen them.
Yeah. Like Rokodoguni or Nakatasi or
the French lad.
Well, Nakatasi or
no,
Zakarawa.
No, you missed one.
Oh, Alvaretti Raka.
Oh, Raka.
God,
oh,
sorry. Yeah. Which one of the French lads? God, yeah.
There's loads of them. Absolutely loads of them. Right, let's talk about next week's...
Rugby Championship. Well, before I do, what's this new jersey for the Rugby Dungeon? So we're always happy to receive...
We did talk about it a few weeks ago, Tim. You weren't here.
Oh, right.
Tim, was this when you weren't here, but we probably didn't do justice, I don't think.
Oh, by the way, we've received a great quiz from our American listener, Peter Short. Well, not our American. We have we have a lot of listeners in America.
To us, yes,
like 10%, I think, of our audiences in America. It's mad, mad. Anyway, one of them, Peter Shaw, has sent us another quiz, which we will do next week. So thank you, Peter. Exciting. Received. And he's also sent us his, I don't know if he'd want me to say, he sent us something that he's been working on as well, a little side project, which is quite good. Anyway, more on that next week.
Excellent.
But yeah, so this is new to me. And you said you want it, you sort of flagged up, you need to do it justice, Phil, so.
Yeah, well, we probably didn't do it justice last time.
Well, I didn't realise who signed it. That's a thing.
So, this was sent to us by Mick Ryan. It is an Anzac jersey from a Lions game. Now, you had the full detail of this.
I do. Do I have them here?
No, I remember when I used to...
2001?
It looks about that age. I remember when I used to have like this, when I first got into rugby, as mini rugby, I got bought for Christmas 101 best tries and another 101 best tries. And that was the only time I've ever seen the Anzacs jersey. But it used to be an annual thing.
Yeah.
The Anzacs being Australia and New Zealand combined.
Yeah. And this is a signed version of the jersey. Signed by Chris Latham.
Yes, so signed by Triple M together with members of the Australian Defence Force. The match was played nearly 24 years to the date since the Wallabies and All Blacks last teamed up against the Lions. Okay, so the classic Wallabies on show, Chris Latham, Stephen Larkham, Jeremy.
Oh, so this is a classic. Yeah. Right.
Sam Scott Young, Nathan Gray, Garrick Morgan, who I used to love, David Croft and Matt Dunning, combining with former All Blacks, Scott Robinson, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce that other guy's name, but he's also very good, the other guy.
And I think that game that he's referring to is probably the one that I was talking about that I saw tries from. But Chris Latham, I'm delighted. That's amazing. Great, one of those great... There's a guy who could have been a back row. My God, he was a machine.
He was such a talented all-round athlete. Yeah. He could have played whatever position and probably whatever sport he wanted and would have been amazing.
But I didn't, pull his, didn't him, pull his socks up. So.
Him, Matt Burke, Joe Roth, or Ben Tune.
Yeah, Latham was just class.
Did he not finish off in Worcester?
Yeah, I just looked him up. He finished off somewhere else. Where the hell is this?
It was Japan.
He finished off in Japan.
Of course he did. Everyone finishes off in
Japan. But he did have a couple of seasons in Worcester. 2008 to 2010. I remember watching him.
At the same time that Matt Burke had gone over to Newcastle. And he was one of those guys who they used to allow him not to train because he's Matt Burke. He already knows what he's doing.
Got the miles in the bank.
Yeah, I'm just going to teach Matt Burke how to, field a high ball. It's not necessary, is it?
So, rugby championship this weekend. Who have we got?
Let me get it up.
Is it a slimmed down version of it?
This is the final round.
Final round.
Final weekend. Yeah. So two games. We have got Australia hosting New Zealand, followed by Argentina hosting South Africa. So the first game, I suspect New Zealand will continue to rotate. I think, I imagine they will give the Moonga-Barrett combination another go. Because there were some good things. And
Moonga-Barrett combination, you mean Barrett at 15?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think they'll keep that and then they'll change a few of the other positions around.
I don't like it, personally. I feel that they should go with one or the other. It's like when a groom chooses two best men because he's a coward. Right?
Didn't you have two best men?
Nope.
You had Steve Elliott and Tom who both did speeches.
No, he said a few words, but he definitely was not
having,
a best
and
man.
Having seen...
He definitely was not a best
having
man.
Seen his...
You didn't go on a stag do.
Having seen his speech... Oh, no, it was the other way around. But yeah, having seen Steve's best man speech at JB's wedding, I'm surprised you didn't have someone else to do a speech as insurance.
Yeah. I gambled. And it did pay off, to be
it
fair.
It did pay off. Yeah. All right.
So that's kind of how I think... I wonder if they're going to, in their effort to force a team together, that they kind of go the wrong way with this. So I'm not a huge
fan.
It'd
be interesting to know what would be happening if D-Mac was still fit.
Yeah, because he's ace. And he's ace at 10 as well. Maybe I am wrong, because D-Mac's so good at 15, and he plays 10. I love him at 10.
Well, his 10, he got moved back. Was it last season or this season? He got moved back to 15 because he was just throwing too many damn interceptions.
Yeah.
His interception rate at 10 was unbelievable.
He plays very flat.
He does play very flat. Wait for the opposition 13.
Well, I think this World Cup, more than the previous two, it's saying something obvious, because New Zealand don't look as strong as they have done relative to other teams. A reliable kicker is going to be more important now than ever for New Zealand. And Beauden Barrett felt the need, even like 20 metres to the right of the sticks, he felt the need to steal a few extra yards behind the referee's back last weekend.
Why would you need those? I'd be fairly confident making that kick. It's on the 22.
It's an interesting one as well. Yeah, it's on the 22. It was inside the 15.
Yeah, it was inside the 15.
But
actually,
by moving it forward, you're making the angle. The angle is tighter. So
it was nicely done. It was very delicately done. He did it really well.
Yeah,
he's obviously
done it plenty of times.
Done it plenty of times and knows what he's doing.
As a lot of kickers have done. As well. But yeah, it was a weird one that, and he did get a lot of flack for it. But he also missed two relatively easy kicks in that game and handed over kicking duties to Moonga halfway through the game.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing. I think that's part of it. Yeah. Why are they giving the kicking duties? I mean, if there's another guy on the field, they should have the kicking duties. It feels, again, very forced, almost like a show of confidence which they don't need.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have started Moonga kicking.
Yeah, if you're going to start Moonga, but don't have him with, you know, the shadow of Beauden Barrett at 15. Just give him the show. This is your team now. Run it.
I do like New Zealand having two playmakers. It's just you've got to make it work.
Yeah.
And having, if you've got Ben Smith on the wing with Beauden Barrett, you've got one of the world's best positional fullbacks. So
exactly.
So you don't need to. Beauden Barrett potentially being out of position is less of a worry with Ben Smith there.
This is just a thought I've had now, and I'm not sure how logical it is, but still. If England did the similar thing with Farrell when they moved him to 12, right? And the thing is with Farrell, and the thing is with Beauden Barrett, is they are your key men. Like, they are absolutely your pivotal point. They probably do more things in training than you realise, and so forth. When you then put another playmaker at 10, I wonder if that just the fact that they are there and the fact that they have their influence is almost a bit disruptive. You need your most influential person at 10, and then everyone else can fit in around them. So you can still have a second playmaker. That second playmaker can't be your most important playmaker or your most important player.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I'm yet to make up my mind. I don't hate the Beauden Barrett Moonga thing, because I would argue that Moonga, his form for the past 3 years, having won three back-to-back-to-back Super Rugby Championships, would be pushing him for a start anyway, pushing him to be that number one guy. So it might actually be that he is that number one guy, and Beauden Barrett is having to slot into the second playmaker position.
Yeah, maybe.
And also, Beauden Barrett is that good that if he'd only ever been a fullback, we would be saying he's a world-class player. He's a world-class
player.
Skill set's incredible.
And he does defend there from deep, because his running game is so good. The Hurricanes defend him there from deep.
Is that not to remove him from the line so he's not exposed to tackling?
No, because he's actually not a terrible tackler. Mm. It's like putting Scout Brits in the backfield. Yeah. You're not hiding him from making tackles.
Yeah, because it's not always a compliment, is it, putting people at fullback to defend? Like Ryan Lamb, for instance.
Or Danny Cipriani.
Danny, go and defend on the wing, that's all right.
Because you've got a great running game, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, boss.
So, yeah, I don't hate it. I think it's not a bad option. And am I right in saying this? Was he not 15 in the 2011 Rugby World Cup final? Let me look that up.
The one where Beaver was kicking sticks.
No, sorry. The Junior World, the under 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't playing in the...
No.
I have no idea.
Well, those Barrett, they can just play anywhere.
Yeah.
Geordie Barrett's a freak as well.
Yeah.
Just something else, right? This rugby championship is the smaller version, right? I.e., they only play each other once.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And there's no extra. Is there an extra. I've forgotten what the name is between New Zealand and Australia. Bledisloe. Is there an extra Bledisloe game in Tokyo or Hong Kong or somewhere?
I think there is.
Yeah.
Yes, I was 100% correct.
Who was the 10 that day?
So, tee yourself up for
who was the 10 in the under 20s?
This is a great question. Who were the two 10s in the under 20s 2011?
I have no idea.
Rugby World Cup.
Two 10s, as in
so, that's eight,
so
eight,
it was New Zealand.
8 years
New
ago.
Zealand, this is the final. New Zealand beat England 33-22.
8 years ago. D-Mac? Maunga? No, Lima Sopawanga?
Too young. Maunga too young. Sopawanga. So Sopawanga was playing 12.
Really?
And that's another good question. Who was playing 12 for England?
8 years ago. 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
George Ford.
George Ford, yeah.
George Ford was playing 10 for England.
Yep.
So who was playing 10 for New Zealand and who was playing 12 for England? God, there's some names on this team sheet.
12. Owen Farrell.
Owen Farrell.
Owen Farrell used to play.
Was he?
Yeah.
It was Ford and Farrell, 10 and 12 for England. So who was playing 10 for New Zealand?
I don't know. I don't know enough about Colin Slade. Got no idea.
He is an international.
Cruden.
Not for New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, Quade Cooper.
Nope.
He's an international, but not for New Zealand. Ben Teal. I've got no idea.
Nope.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Come on.
Hang on, a sneaky... No, I don't know. I was going to go with a Samoan or a Fijian.
Nope. A bit closer to home.
What? Oh, it's the
Piers Francis.
No. It's the Welshman, Ainscombe.
Gareth Ainscombe.
Oh, there you go. Damn it.
And who else was...
He was dreaming of wearing the Welsh jersey while he was in it.
Yeah, he was.
So, who else... God, this New Zealand under 20, it's a hell of a team. Who started at number 6 for New Zealand under 20s that year? Who is also playing internationally a bit closer to home.
Playing for New Zealand?
For New Zealand in the under 20s in 2011. Playing a bit closer to home.
Tom Wood, Brad Shields.
Brad Shields.
There you go.
Wow, he was dreaming of the Red Rose
absolutely
when he was there as well.
And there's two players in the England team who are playing NFL now.
Wade and Scotland Williamson?
Nope.
Wade and the London Irish, former London Irish flanker, Alex Gray.
Great.
Oh, good. Good shout.
Yeah.
No, oh, interesting. Is Alex Gray? No, actually, don't answer that because I don't actually want to know the answer.
I think he's still with the Cardinals.
Yeah. So I think Australia are going to get absolutely panned. That's my...
Yeah, back to... took a bit...
I'm going to have to go and catch a train. I've got a car outside. No. My wife is in the car.
He's got a car outside.
Just waiting for me.
So big time now. Okay. So we've Chris Evans is giving that pay rise.
She's in the Ford Focus.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's not glamorous. although now you mention it, yes. For anyone...
You like Gordon Ramsay.
So there are people that go round. The way that radio ratings are measured is...
Radar.
So old. It's this thing called Radar, where you get these numbers every 3 months based on paper diaries, which people keep.
Amazing.
I think there are some digital ones. So people knock on doors at random and say, would you like to fill out a radio diary for 2 weeks? And here's an M&S voucher, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you could win a holiday or whatever. So if you get one of them, tick Virgin Radio 1 till 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Please
listen first. Yeah.
Well,
I'm not
bothered if you listen or not. Just tick the book
by saying, look, if you've got a radio book, if you can apply for it.
I'm joking.
Yeah,
but
absolutely joking. But if you were to do it, do it.
Right. So we're all saying New Zealand to hammer Australia.
Yeah.
And then Argentina hosts South Africa, which I actually think is going to be quite a big win for South Africa. I think this is going to be 15.
Do you think South Africa might do a bit of rotating?
They already have done a little bit.
I suppose they have, you're right.
Yeah, I think they will rotate a couple of combinations, but I think this is going to be a big win for South Africa.
Well, we'll have plenty to talk about next week.
We certainly will do.
Podcastlive.com.
Is that worrying when a phone does that?
What, flashes green and, yeah. I think you clearly had a good night last night.
Oh, dear.
Is it the pepper spray playing havoc with the circuit?
Yeah, it is. I've got to get off this pepper spray habit.
It's a bit Moorish, though, isn't it?
Once
you've done it once.
Once you get a taste for the heat.
So you've just built up an intolerance now. Yeah. You just need more and more. Yeah. You just need one more hit.
I used to say, yeah, one more hit. I can stop at any time.
Right. Right. Podcastlive.com. Come see us. And we'll have a drink on the river afterwards with you. Sorry, a Negroni. On the river afterwards.
Drinking Negroni.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.